Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and there was some confusion about the resurrection. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 to consider some of those things. And I want to start with verse 12 and read down through verse 23 of this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting with verse 12, and I'll read down through verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For every man, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for all the good things you've done for us. And Lord, we come to this time of the year when we make a special point to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Lord, we certainly should do this on a regular basis, not just this one weekend in the spring, but Lord, we pray that we would understand today that indeed Christ is risen from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. And because he lives, so we trust him as our Savior, we can live eternally with him. Bless now this time we have together. Pray that you'd use your word to meet the need in each life. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Fewer people every year believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just this last year, the London Telegraph did a survey, and they surveyed those who called themselves Christians. And 23% of those who called themselves Christians said they did not believe that Christ bodily rose from the grave. I find that astounding. How can you call yourself a Christian and not believe in the very basic tenet of Christianity? Survey recently in the United States. 36% of the population as a whole, not just Christians, 36% of the population do not believe the resurrection of Jesus to be a historical fact. I find these astounding. And you've taken that same survey 50 years ago, you would find the percentage that did not believe in the resurrection in the 4%, 5%, or 7%. We live in a day when godly things are set aside and secular things are accepted as true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, you know, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then nothing else has value. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, he is not alive now in heaven. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, our faith is vain. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, then those who have died are perished. There is no hope for them, and there's no hope for us. I changed our order of service a little bit. Brother Harper had a different song picked out for the one just before the message. But I wanted to sing Because He Lives again. That song speaks to my heart. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth living. Because Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. There have been, down through the years, a lot of skeptics and critics who tried to convince us that Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead. Let me just, a couple of thoughts. How do we know Christ rose from the dead? First of all, it's one of the most documented events in history. But a public execution assured his death. He was dead when he came off the cross. There was no question. The soldier said, he is dead. Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body, said, he is dead. Pilate was convinced he was dead. They put him in a grave and they secured the grave with soldiers and sealed the stone so that no one could tamper with it. But in spite of the guards and the seals, when the stone was rolled away on that Sunday morning, the grave was empty. You see, Christ did not need the stone rolled away to leave the grave. Many people have claimed to see him alive. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The apostles' lives were dramatically changed. Witnesses were willing to die for their claim of the resurrection. Jewish believers changed their day of worship because of the resurrection. It was a fitting climax to a miraculous life. You know, it's interesting that in reading the Gospels, the first who came to the tomb who were witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ were the women. Historically, culturally, had this been something that was made up, they never would have attributed that to the women. They would have written it so brave, honorable men went to the grave. But no, God said it was the women. You know, people would not have made up the resurrection because it didn't fit in their worldview. The worldview of the population at that time was life was short and we'd live it here and it would end. And early Christians would not have worshipped Jesus as divine unless they had proof that he was alive. You know, the resurrection is the cornerstone of our life. The religious crowd in Jerusalem feared the resurrection. After the death of Christ, in Matthew 27, verse 63, the religious leaders said, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." The religious leaders of that day feared that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. It's amazing how man often does all that he can humanly possible to hinder the will and the plan of God, but it always falls short. They said, "Put a guard." And Pilate says, "You have your own soldiers, you put them. You do it. I'm not going to." He, Pilate, at this time, and if you just read through the crucifixion accounts of the man Pilate, you find an interesting study in his character. By this time, he'd had it with the Jewish leaders. He'd offered them every opportunity for Jesus not to die, and they rejected them all. They came to the place where they said, "We have no king but Caesar." Something that was profanity to the Jewish mind, that there was a king other than the Jehovah God of Israel. But they would rather say that than allow the truth of Jesus Christ's life to change theirs. You know, the resurrection was of great concern to the Roman officials. Paul, if we go to Acts chapter 25 and verse 19, Paul is before the Festus, the procurator or the governor of Judea, and King Agrippa the 8th, Herod to rule in Judea are there. And they come and Paul has been arrested, and this is some 20-some years, 25 for 28 years after the crucifixion of Christ. It says of them in Acts 25:19, but had certain questions against him, Paul, of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Roman officials were concerned that Jesus was alive. We know that the first Herod was concerned that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know he was so concerned when the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to announce there's one born king of the Jews, that he sent to Bethlehem and there slaughtered the innocents in Bethlehem so that he might, he thought, stop this one who was born king from assuming his throne. But of course, again, his plan failed. The resurrection was of great concern to Roman officials. Christ's own apostles did not understand, even though they had been told the resurrection would happen. This was something that, as we mentioned before, that is so far out of the framework of the mind of mankind in that day, that even though they are told over and over and over again, even the apostles, those that walked with him for 3.5 years, those that he taught, those that he'd eaten with, and those that they'd gone through trials on the Sea of Galilee, and those that he'd seen the miraculous, seen the dead raised at his hand. In Mark 16, verse 11, it says, and they, the apostles, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Believed not. This is astounding. In Matthew, we find, and I'm just going to mention twice, in Matthew 16 and verse 21, Christ, this is in the last weeks of Christ's ministry. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, listen to what he's telling them, that how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He told them. But often we're told something and we only hear it in the context we want to hear it. That's why the apostles, don't be too hard on it. Again, Matthew 17 and verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. It's amazing that this, at least one other time in the book of Matthew, we have it recorded that Jesus tells his apostles that this is going to happen. We are going to go to Jerusalem. I am going to be betrayed. When I am betrayed, I'll be taken and tried. I'll then be crucified. Crucifixion was not a punishment that you survived. I'll be crucified. I will die. I'll be buried, but I will raise again the third day. You know, to us sitting here in the 21st century and looking back, we can understand this. But understand the Jewish mind at the time of these men, even though Christ told them at least 3 times what was going to happen. When the women came back from the tomb and on that Sunday morning, and they came back and they found the apostles and they told them that he was not there, he was risen from the dead, they did not believe. But I think we would have done the same thing. I don't think we would have been waiting that Easter morning until the sun came up and made a mad dash for the garden where the tomb was, and there looked and saw the stone, and then saw the stone rolled away, and then we would, you know, even Peter and Mark, or Peter and John, made a quick trip to the tomb. Why? They did not believe what happened. Even the ladies, when they first went to the tomb, they saw it empty. And Mary saw Jesus. She thought he was the gardener.
And she says, tell me where you have laid him. I'll go and get him. I'll take care of him. And Jesus just said, Mary, and she understood. She recognized his voice. It's the centerpiece of our faith. You know, we have great evidence of Jesus being alive after the resurrection. If we follow the timeline, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried 3 days and three nights in the tomb. As they came that Sunday morning, Jesus was already gone because the Jewish day begins in the evening, not in the morning like our day does. And so as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, we find that they came and the tomb was already empty. Jesus was alive. We see the events on that first day recorded in the four Gospels. We see the events of the resurrection are recorded by four different authors. And let me say this, it was recorded at risk to their own lives because Christianity and the thought of the resurrection of Christ was not popular in the empire. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many, notice, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Had it just been that first Sunday, you might be able to explain it away and said these individuals who claimed they saw him were under such emotional stress that they thought they saw something that was not really there. We could explain that away. But we see the infallible proofs that not one day or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but 40 days, Jesus Christ was seen alive by different individuals, not just in Jerusalem, but in Galilee. Look what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, this is Peter, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul says, during this 40 days, the apostles saw him. Others saw him. At one time, Jesus preached, and there were more than 500 people in that crowd who saw him bodily, physically, standing before them, heard the words audibly come out of his mouth. He was alive. There was no question. Paul, in writing this in 1 Corinthians 15, says, most of these 500 are still alive. They're witnesses. We could call them up. We could call a hearing into the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We could call these 500, and as we call these 500, they would give, those that were still alive would give testimony over and over and over again. I know he's alive. I saw him. I know he's alive. I heard him speak. I know he's alive. I sat at his feet while he taught. Over 500 people. There is no question that Jesus Christ is alive. And you know, we can live the Christian life because of the resurrection. Listen to what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once, but when he liveth unto God. Likewise, or in the same manner, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 6, down in verse 13, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, we can live the Christian life. We have power over sin because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the ability to make right choices for God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He lives. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession for us before the Father. I think one of the most marvelous things about the resurrection is that eternal life is available because of the resurrection. Eternal life is available because of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." What does he mean? For as in Adam all die. We know we are all descendants of Adam. We know that in the Garden of Eden, Adam made a choice to sin, to rebel against God, to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and either against the commandment of God, and Adam became a sinner. And because Adam was a sinner, his sons and daughters became sinners. Because his sons and daughters were sinners, then their sons and daughters, and down through the generations to you and to me. You see, I've heard people say, "Well, I think I should get to heaven because I live a pretty good life." That sounds good. But the problem is, living a good life does nothing to do with the problem that we are sinners by birth. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." I'm glad God put that last phrase in that verse, "no, not one." Because it emphasizes, tells us, helps us to understand that the greatest philanthropist in this world was not righteous. The one who did the most most work for the poor was not righteous. The one who gave millions away was not righteous. The one who did good deeds, the one who lived a good life, the one who did all the things that we look by which we measure righteousness is still not right. Why? Because we are sinners. We're born sinners. You know, I don't have to convince you that you're a sinner. You know that. You know that we are prone to sin. We are prone to look at things we should not look at. We're prone to listen to things we should not. We're prone to entertain thoughts that we should not. We're prone to be proud and arrogant. All those things, we are prone to that. It's what we call the old nature. For you see, we all are sinners. For all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We deserve. Not only because we're sinners by birth and sinners by choice, we deserve to die. We deserve a Christless eternity because we reject the risen Savior. But even though we deserve that, understand that Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love," or gave His love, showed His love to us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were in a sinful state, God looked down from heaven through the halls of eternity, and He saw all mankind for all time. He saw mankind would be sinners and rebellious. And He said, "I love those people, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, the resurrection is not just an academic or a theological discussion. Because of the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies. And we can go in a moment to Jesus Christ. And we can come to Him. And we can confess our sin to Him. We can ask Him to forgive us our sins. We can accept His gift of salvation because He is alive. If He had died and stayed in that grave, never to live anymore, there would be no salvation available to mankind. Notice what Jesus told Martha when Lazarus was in the grave. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Let me ask you the question Jesus asked Martha. Believest thou this? Do you believe that there is a life after this life? And either we will spend that eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven, or we'll spend that eternity in a place called hell, away from God for all eternity. Those are the only two choices, folks. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He knew he would be resurrected. He knew that they would see resurrection life in Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, we see a great picture there. Let me read several verses, starting at verse 12. John says, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his hand, right hand, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. You see, the only way we can have life forevermore is to have that life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from religious exercise. It doesn't come from good deeds. It doesn't come from the family or the country we're born in. Only through the resurrected life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?